cheapest shipping in the industry.
President Obama says he wants the health bill now rather than later. He's hoping by the end of the week and pressing up on key lawmakers to make that happen and get that into the Senate Finance Committee again by Friday. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is saying this baby can pass by August, but we'll see. There are others who don't believe this is the right direction to go in, and there are some broad strokes that have been painted, no specifics really, other than some of the things that we've heard, like the tax ultimately, the individual tax if you decide you didn't want to accept it, what would happen to the employers, the wealthy being taxed more to pick up the bill for those who are uninsured. How many of you are speaking out on this? How many of you think it's a good idea? And how do our friends in Canada feel about their current health care system? I'll tell you what two of the callers had to say to us earlier on America Tonight, in case you missed it when they checked in on America Tonight in some previous conversations. In the meantime, it's all about Sotomayor, Sonia Sotomayor, the nominee who's been the nominee now for 7 weeks for Barack Obama, has her day in court, so to speak. Well, really on the Hill. Was it down and dirty? No, it was the opposite of that. But this was just the opening day. And you think of what's happened to other nominees when they've gone before the Judiciary Committee in those hearings and what's ultimately come out of those, whether it's Roberts or Alito or Thomas or Bork, any of those guys. So contentious will this become between the senators who are doing the talking and Sotomayor who's answering the questions? I'm going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, probably 10 being the hardest, I'm going to say probably like a 5. I all you hear from the meetings with the senators, et cetera, even from the Republicans, is, well, unless the skeleton dances out of the closet, unless there's a meltdown, as Lindsey Graham said, the Republican senator from South Carolina, she is certain to be approved. Now, there hasn't been a time set for the full Senate vote, but this is just that ultimate hearing, and these are televised, of course, all over the place. You might have caught a little bit of it. Her opening statement, thanking her mother, talking about how she views the law. Here's a little slice of how she views the law.
Throughout my 17 years on the bench, I have witnessed the human consequences of my decisions. Those decisions have not been made to serve the interest of any one litigant, but always to serve the larger interest of impartial justice. In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. Fidelity to the law. The task of a judge is not to make law, it is to apply the law. And it is clear, I believe, that my record in two courts reflects my rigorous commitment to interpreting the Constitution according to its terms, interpreting statutes according to their terms and Congress's intent, and hewing faithfully to precedents established by the Supreme Court and by my circuit court. In each case I have heard, I have applied the law to the facts at hand. The process of judging is enhanced when the arguments and concerns of the parties to the litigation are understood and acknowledged. That is why I generally structure my opinions by setting out what the law requires and then explaining why a contrary position, sympathetic or not, is accepted or rejected. That is how I seek to strengthen both the rule of law and faith in the impartiality of our judicial system. My personal and professional experiences help me to listen and understand, with the law always commanding the result in every case.
All right, so pretty rehearsed remarks, but that's what you expected because she knew what she was going to talk about, obviously. But there were a few shaky moments during the hearing because there's the nutballs that are always on hand to scream something out. And this was interesting because you had people yelling things out in both English and Spanish. Take a listen.
Private citizens, I have watched at least part of each and every Supreme Court confirmation hearing since they've been televised, and I would note that this is the first confirmation hearing that Senator Kennedy has not attended since 1965.
The Senate will suspend officers. Please remove whoever is causing disturbance. And again, as Senator Sessions and I have said, this is a meeting of the United States Senate. We'll show respect to everybody who is here. We will show respect to everybody here, and certainly to Judge Sotomayor, to the senators on both sides of the aisle, and we will have order in this room.
Thank you, Senator Leahy.
Thank you. Senator Franken, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so the voice you heard there, of course, is the new senator, newly installed, Senator Al Franken, the Democrat of Minnesota, has no seniority, of course, so he was the last member of the Senate Judiciary Committee to actually get a chance to ask the question. You heard a little bit of what he said about the honor, et cetera, and then he was cut off by Leahy because of the people who were screaming, which, by the way, most of the protesters were anti-abortion people that were screaming things out. Not all. There are other people screaming other things out at the hearings, and, of course, ultimately they are exited from those hearings. They move them out. You can be sure. This has happened now. I don't know. Since they've been televising this kind of stuff, you can be sure there's always somebody that's going to scream something out about whatever it is. And congratulations, America. Sadly, we have a milestone to mark here in these United States, and that would be the 1 trillion milestone. I'm not talking about hamburgers at McDonald's. Nope. For the first time, the deficit, a $1 trillion deficit in this country. Man, that is so scary to say that. Can you even wrap your mind around what $1 trillion is? And then all this talk of a second stimulus, and you ultimately think of $1 trillion, and you think of the deficit, and think of the future of this country. Man, I just cannot go there, especially since the first stimulus, no matter what anyone said, I don't care, oh, we didn't realize the numbers, whatever, it doesn't matter. It didn't work. It fell flat. Forget about it. Punt on the idea of a second stimulus. Just punt. Anybody listening who has a stake in this, punt, punt. That's the best thing that can happen because it's not ultimately going to stimulate anything in our own backyards. Coming up on the show, we have sports shorts, of course, as always, this day in history, birthdays, and odds and ends, meaning there's so much happening. We like to take you to different corners of this country and the rest of the world to get you up to date as stories break. Imagine that while we are live on the air. Hang with us. We'll do some of that coming up.
And now for something completely different.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Now that you've planted your organic garden, how will you keep the bugs away without using toxic chemicals and poisons? Well, the answer is all natural insecticides from freshwaterorganics.com. These revolutionary insecticides start with the same organic product that we use in FPP to kill parasites. We then add a small amount of pyrethrin from chrysanthemum flowers and a mild attractant to offer you the most effective insecticide available anywhere. It can even be applied up to the day of harvest. Our natural insecticides work in the home, on plants, and in your garden, killing pests mechanically, not with poisons. So pests can't develop an immunity, and they won't harm your children or pets. It's effective against white flies, moths, bed bugs, fleas, roaches, crickets, and more, and safe enough to use on your pets, ridding them of fleas and other pests. Order now from freshwaterorganics.com or call 888-949-3570, 888-949-3570 today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold, hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Would bite the dust. Have you heard the name Cass Sunstein? Well, if you haven't, let me tell you about Cass Sunstein. Hey, everybody. Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight. Cass is a Harvard law professor who's now been appointed to a post that is overwhelming to me that you've got somebody in this situation where they're kind of the internet czar. So you talk about blogs, you talk about what goes on as far as the internet is concerned, and free speech, right? Blogging is giant. If you've gone on any sites, you've seen the bloggers. And probably some of the comments are inane and stupid and idiotic and have foul language, and sometimes they're removed from sites and all that other stuff, but not always. I mean, it is the new form of expression. Ask any kids that are doing it in schools now, and they start on the internet when they're, you know, 6, 7 years old, maybe even before that in some cases. Well, the official title of Sunstein is, well, Obama's choice anyway, to head the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. Sounds almost bland. Sounds like, oh yeah, whatever that is. But that's the thing. It gets lost in the sauce. This is the czar of the internet. It's not obscure. This post has crazy, crazy power. I was reading a story in the Wall Street Journal about this, and you're talking about overseeing regulations throughout the government, from the Environmental Protection Agency to OSHA to all kinds of things. I mean, this is crucial, this position, because in overhauling financial services and trying to pass this health care, universal health care, this is, and also with when in talking about greenhouse gases and controlling emissions, this is a huge appointment. I mean, a huge appointment, because ultimately this person, Cass Sunstein, will be, I don't know if spy is the right word, but this is the guy who could crash the internet or put a gag on it, as the New York Post headline said, gag the internet. An Obama official's frightening book about curbing free speech online. Now, in all fairness, what this Harvard prof did is he wrote a book about how rumors spread, how people believe them, and what can be done about it. But see, again, the problem is, and in the book he talks about it, bloggers are rampaging out of control and there needs to be laws to corral them. Ooh, I'm for free speech, baby. There might be speech out there, like I just said, that is ridiculous, stupid, inane, makes no sense, I could care less about. You know what I do? I don't read it. We have choices. You do not have to read some of the nonsense that is posted out there. But the idea that we live in a country where you can say what you think, that you can blog on a website, that you can have other forms of expression through texting, etc., is incredible. I don't want to go back to the dark days, even if I don't agree with some of the crap that I would read or be exposed to. There's ways to control that, certainly with kids. But when the guy is saying, let's, you know, put something in the way of this, let's do something, in other words, to shut this valve off, ooh, that's scary. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. All of a sudden, the internet is going to be regulated. Now, somebody could be listening to me and say, yeah, but what about all the people that get screwed up because of spreading of rumors of false information on the internet? And if that's the world we live in, what can we do to reduce it? Certainly not cut it off, right? And that's the thing. If you blog, if you've ever looked at blogs, blogs are free form. They can say whatever you want about a celebrity, a public person, you know, whatever. It could be nasty stuff, no question. And certainly, I'm sure celebrities, you have TMZ and you have all those other websites, and they definitely blog there. I'm sure some of the stuff that's written is ugly and hateful and nasty, but you don't have to click on the blogs. If you know the idiots are blogging who feel that they're anonymous, so they can write anything, okay, fine. But not liking false rumors, I get it. But doing something about the internet and policing it, ooh. And what, then charging and coming up with something else? And how do you decide? See, here's that gray area. How do you decide what you take down and what's fair? I mean, of course, if it's profanity, okay, that's fine. Then if they're taking it down, that's okay, right? But who is going to be the cop of falsehoods? How many possible sites would they have to go through? I mean, it would take you forever to do this. Would these be new jobs? There's job creation. Maybe that's the stimulus. Have internet cops who have to go through, and your jobs go through certain sites, almost like when somebody's an alarm guard and then they have to watch a certain amount of monitors to determine if somebody's breaking into your house, and that's what they do. They sit in front of the monitors, or somebody with the eye in the sky in Vegas. So now the job can be for somebody. That's what you have to do. You have to spy on these certain websites and pull out what is determined to be a falsehood. But see, here's the thing. What if you're going to do that, and somebody can file a libel suit, okay? What would it be capped at? What would the ultimate award be if this was something that went to court? And what he's saying is it would be capped at $15,000 or limited for anyone demonstrating financial hardship. Ooh. I mean, man, think of the politics, think of the celebrities, think of the, in some cases, some of the bloggers are professional, are actually pretty good at it. They uncover information, or because somebody knows it's anonymous, they have a piece of information and they bring it out, and the next thing you know, it becomes a big story, like in John Edwards and the case with the woman that he was fooling around with. The National Enquirer breaks that story. There's blogs. Somebody starts blogging about it, and it catches fire, and it becomes a huge story and exposes the fact that he was representing himself as a Mr. Family Man. But all the time, he had this affair with this woman. And then the question you ask is, wow, did he use political money to pay her for the film? But you get what I'm saying. A lot of things have been exposed thanks to blogging, too. Let's ask Donovan. He's a 20-something guy. Donovan, I bet a lot of people in your world certainly blog. Can you imagine if there were police to go after the bloggers that they felt were crossing the line on the Internet?
Well, as it happens, I have a blog myself, and not to drop a gratuitous plug, but it's Bakke at blogspot.com. But, yeah, I certainly like to think I don't go out of my way to libel people and or post anything that I know happens to be false, but I'm not an expert on everything I talk about. You could argue I'm not really an expert on anything I write about, so I could easily write something that somebody could attempt to prove to be a falsehood, and I can't guarantee that I always get it right. And then, of course, I have a lot of opinion and analysis on what I write about. So, I mean, how do you determine whether opinion or analysis is falsehood exactly?
Right, and see, therein lies the problem if you try to gag the Internet, if you try to stop bloggers. I mean, bravo to you. You started your own blog. A lot of people have done that. It's almost like writing in a journal for some people, whether it's politics, just everyday life, being a mother, doing whatever. And some of them have really taken off and become quite profitable for some people. Hello, Arianna Huffington. The Huffington Post is one of the top 10 websites in the country. Now, TMZ is one of the top 10 websites, and it's crazy gossipy nonsense celebrity stuff, but celebrity gossip is really high on a lot of people's lists. It's certainly some of the teenage set, they read it. So it's a capitalistic society. It's a way that they made money. Huffington, the same thing. She has columnists. They're all bloggers. Everything is about the blog and blogging about whatever the news is. So if you cut that off, I think you cut off something that's been interesting to watch evolve, a form of free speech that is part of the greatness of our Constitution, that is part of the greatness of living in the United States. What do you think? 800-259-5791. You can express yourself next on ATN.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple, fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You already know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Piling in AmericaTonight.net, AmericaTonight.net. We'll read some of them on the air. As I brought up, how do you feel about the internet being policed for bloggers, especially because that's really what you're talking about, who are making comments or writing stories or having their own blogs? Should they be held for some of the things that they say in a libelous way? And you cap it at 15,000. There's a Harvard professor who's probably going to have that gig of and a fancy new title that sounds like an information guy, but really he's going to be like the internet czar for one of the parts of his job, and that will change, I think, a lot in the blogosphere. The thing is, like I said, some of it is crap and nonsense, and you'll read comments after a blog, and whether it's sports, because there's always hot sports opinions out there, and sometimes they're just ridiculous. Sometimes the people make a lot of sense, so they're smart, they know the team, they followed along, and I think they present an interesting point of view. And with politics, too, you get some really good comments and interesting things that you'll read just from whoever is anonymously blogging. And they can put whatever name they want to put or nickname they want to put, and you don't really know who it is. Well, now all of that secrecy will go away. Maybe some of you think it's a good thing, and it should be policed, and maybe some of you think it's about free speech. I'm on the free speech side. Even if I don't agree with some of the stuff that's out there, I'm smart enough to realize, well, I don't have to read it. If I don't like TMZ and they're trashing a bunch of no-name celebrities, I don't have to read the blogs. Or maybe I like the blogs, and I think it's interesting and funny, ha-ha, and I get some entertainment out of it. Like I said, you know what? Some of it's good, it is, and some of it's not so good. But that's what you get when you live in a free society and you have freedom of speech, baby. And I love my freedom of speech. There are a lot of people with a lot of opinions out there. You know what they say about that. And some of the opinions are good. Some of them are atrocious. Doesn't matter. You get to express them. And that's the key thing. 800-259-5791. I read this headline as I read the Wall Street Journal today. And the headline said, the economy is even worse than you think. And this was sad because what the story is about is the average length of unemployment is higher than it's been since the government even started, you know, formulating means to track the data way back in 1948. So you'll hear a number like 9.5% or, geez, we're almost at 10 and all this other sort of stuff. But you're not really connecting with the numbers unless you know somebody in that situation. Sadly for me, I know three good friends, actually, in this situation, all with different kinds of careers and jobs and whatever, but all finding themselves unemployed. Well, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they estimate the job losses for June is 467,000. That means 7.2 million people. Wow. 7.2 million have lost their jobs since the start of the recession. So you talk about the last 6 months. The last 6 months have been greater than for any other half-year period since World War II. And now the job losses are also equal to the net job gains over the previous 9 years. So that's, and this is the chilling thing I read, Mort Zuckerman did a great job on this piece. Because of his analogies, it makes it the only recession since the Great Depression to wipe out all job growth from the previous expansion. Boom. Zipped it out. It's done. It's annihilated. Ooh. And so it's worse, I think, than the 9.5 really shows us. I've been saying that, and I've given different reasons, and he gives different reasons. And his reasons are good, too. This is one we've talked about. How many people find themselves where they're in a company where they're asking employees to take unpaid leave? Well, they don't count on the unemployment roll, but they're not making any money, and they're sacrificing, and that's happening a lot that's happening. Then you have, and I've said this before, and we all know people like this, you have people taking part-time jobs because of the economy. And then you've got the underemployed. That's not good. That means they're scrambling and maybe pulling together a couple of part-time jobs. And the average work week for most employees in what they call the rank and file types, right? So that's about 80% of the workforce slipped to 33 hours. That's almost an hour. It's 48 minutes a week less than before the recession started. Ooh, and then this one's a killer, too, because I think this is hard on the psyche. And I hope that these people that are unemployed, you know, they say it's a full-time job looking for a job, but now is the worst time to be looking for a job. And even if you have friends or connections, you know how that goes. There's hiring freezes. I hope that the people that find themselves in this situation are either trying to do something entrepreneurial that they're really good at and that might make them some money and might make them also feel productive and feel good, or they're volunteering or doing some other thing, some hobby that they can afford to do while they're unemployed and still looking for a job. Because it can't be good to just be sitting there pounding the pavement for 8 hours a day over and over again. Mentally, you need to take a break at some point. Anyway, not to get on a soapbox about that, but the average length of unemployment officially increased to 24.5 weeks. You know, that's the longest since they started tracking, if we go back to that again. So long-term unemployment is now 4.4 million. That's an all-time high. So 27 weeks or more. And I know somebody that's approaching almost a year. And it's not for not looking, because this person I'm talking about has friends have tried to help, gotten a couple of interviews, but the companies that she went to interview with. They had a hiring freeze because of what's happening in the country, but loved her to death in three cases and wanted to hire her once that's lifted, but who knows when that's lifted. So a year, almost a year. Oh, that I can't imagine what that feels like. And so the average worker didn't see much gains in June. The average compensation is running at about 18.53 cents an hour. Yeah. And then job creation. You know, that was the whole thing about, oh, the stimulus is going to be so great, job creation. It doesn't really seem to be happening. So you have unemployed workers looking for jobs, and once the recovery begins, they'll find that the jobs are as good as the ones they lost that aren't there. The ones that they lost are not replaceable. It's impossible because of the layoffs, et cetera, and shrinking companies. And units have shut down, all that other sort of stuff. And we know the obvious people, the General Motors, the Chryslers, the hundreds of dealerships that have reduced so many people to working part-time jobs and other things and trying to really, really scramble. Citigroup, Bank of America, they cut lots of jobs and got out of parts of finance. So a lot of jobs just simply went away because they weren't doing them anymore. So on to the stimulus. So this giant $787 billion stimulus spending that was supposed to give, you know, what, how much in growth for every dollar spent. They were saying a buck and a half for every dollar spent. So, yeah, most of that money went to transfer payments like Medicaid, jobless benefits. That doesn't do anything. You had to patch up that part, right? But that doesn't do anything for jobs and growth. So the spending that creates new jobs is called new spending, or hello. And how much of that, and this is taken from Mort's article, it's less than 10% of the stimulus package today. Wow. So you're saying less than 10% of $787 billion. 40% of U.S. workers think the recession is going to continue for another full year. And it's pretty justifiable because the paychecks are getting smaller, disappearing. Consumers don't want to spend. So how does the economy ever find a way to turn around? You know, what's the answer to this? What's the savings rate at? Because you've got, you know, all this debt for a lot of people. Yeah, the numbers are ugly, to say the least. And it all goes back to the same thing again of the stimulus and what has the stimulus done for us. Why the stimulus? Because it, you know, it's, we're talking about something that did nothing to stimulate the economy, and it's worse than we thought because there's numbers that are not calculated in to this. And that is, man, that is the biggest problem of all. It's not rolled into it. Coming up on the show, we've got some of that upside down news for you. Some of it surprising. We like to call it news you can abuse. Once again, as much as we can get down on what's happening with the effort to put a big fat gag in the internet, or what's happening in healthcare, what's happening in unemployment, still need to laugh. So I like those oddball stories. And no matter what, every single day, some sort of news you can abuse is going on somewhere. Trust me on this. We'll talk about that next. Plus, some of your emails, we'll go to those as well. A lot of them on the internet in a pretty quick amount of time. 800-259-5791. Kate, hanging out with you here on America Tonight.
Go around all day, and there's not a single job in this town.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Some of your emails, I was talking about the whole idea of what's going to happen to the internet by stifling the bloggers, although some of them might be idiots and saying stupid, ridiculous, pathetic things. There are some that make excellent and eloquent points. Isn't that the way America is? You're surrounded by people who do a good job of expressing themselves with class and style, and others who are much more crass, let's say. And that's the beauty of where we live, the fact that we can express ourselves in many, many different ways. Blogging is one of the new ways, social networking, Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of stuff. It's here to stay, but under what kind of a restriction? Now the fact that you have, I'm just going to say czar, that's not really what the position is. In fact, the position for this Harvard professor is a strange title, one that doesn't come off the tongue very easily. Now, he's a guy who knew Barack Obama. They knew each other at the University of Chicago, etc. And now he's going to yield a ton of power over the internet as to what's being said. And of course, you know, you could look at it a different way and say, well, you know, you look at these news organizations and the bloggers and all that sort of stuff, and so maybe some of this, maybe some of what's being said isn't checked, because if you work for a newspaper, you have to have sources, but not all bloggers are. What is a professional blogger? How do you become a professional blogger? The rules are different. It's not like the old guard journalism. So Cass Sunstein is this law professor who's now got this new appointment, and the appointment could have an overall chilling effect on speech. Maybe the speech might hurt somebody, so some people would think, well, bloggers are out of control, it's ridiculous, these laws will corral some of that, but I think the cost is just way too high. And what the official position is the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. It's a title that makes no sense, but it's a title that sounds obscure and really packs a punch, because he's going to wield a ton of power, no doubt. And one of them is he's going to be a big-time regulator. It's almost like he's going to be setting some of the laws, especially on this whole rumor thing. So I say thumbs down. There's no question. You can't convince me. It's just, it's more than too gray. It's too scary, and it'll affect a lot of people. Here's one from Milt. Milt says, Kate, I heard you just mention that a short while ago. I absolutely agree with you. Why would they gag us? Freedom of speech, baby. Just talk to those who live in North Korea or China and see how they feel about blogging. Yeah, think of the internet woes, especially in China. Well, in North Korea, too, that they've gone through. Look at Iran and the shutdown of the internet, because the Twittering and the videos that were being released were showing the true story of the jimmy-rigged results in the elections that had the landslide for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to continue as the president of Iran. Imagine if there was no Twitter or Facebook. Here's one from Jack. And Jack says, hey, Kate, listen to the show as much as I can. My hours at work changed. I just heard you mention something about a czar of the internet. Bogus, baby. You know how I feel about that. Freedom of speech rocks, and so do you. Here's one from Steph. Steph says, just listen to you talk about blogging. And on one hand, you were saying almost that the bloggers were idiots, but then there were some that were decent. Either way, you didn't have to check out the blogs. You make a good point there. Isn't that the way it always is? How about some responsibility on the person? Nobody wants to be accountable for anything. Yeah, that's a great point. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be accountable for what their kids are listening to, reading, doing, etc. Or yourself. You're accountable for yourself. If you spend a bunch of time on the internet and you're surfing all over the place and you're reading blogs that are infuriating you, don't do it. Here's one from Larry. Larry says, Kate, I try to catch your show a couple of times every week. I'm getting more and more involved. I love it when you say that it's the show for people who have ADD. Let me be the first to say I do have ADD. I'm playing on your team. As for the blogging, some of it is pathetic. I noticed you mentioned sports in there. It's ridiculous when you go to Fox or ESPN, the brutal comments often that are made about athletes that I don't think are fair. At the same time, you make the excellent point, you don't have to read the blogs. You can just read the story. All right, so pretty much everybody's on the same page. If you disagree or you have a different thought on that, you can call us at 800-259-5791. You got to fight free speech. Whether you agree with what some of it is or not, believe me, you don't want to lose it. Because then, and we already see there's battles over free speech all the time. And some of the rulings, some of the court rulings, some of the things that have affected people, It's rough. It's ridiculous. And so it's already a gray area, right? In many, many cases. Do not do that to the internet. How about this story from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania? There's a suburban Philadelphia man who has to take anger management classes. You know what he was doing? He was blaring audio porn. He was arrested in May. His name's Michael Buck after his neighbors complained that this sexually explicit audio could be heard half a block away near the schools. They say he was trying to chase away those kids outside of his house. He agreed to perform 20 hours of community service. It's part of a plea deal that dismisses more serious charges of corruption of minors and disorderly conduct. What an idiot. Couldn't he call their parents or do something else? Let me blare audio porn. And that might attract some of the kids. Hello, let's not be naive about this. I love this story out of New Orleans. You know the old saying about 250 bottles of rum on the wall? Or is that 100 bottles of beer? I don't know. 250 bottles of rum, that's what this story is about, though. Steve Remsburg has quite a collection. We'll have to ask Harry Rinker when he joins us next week, next Wednesday. So if you collect anything like rum, you want to call the show then so that you can talk to Harry Rinker. Well, he's got about 1,000 bottles of rum, actually. 250 are behind the bar in his den. Check this out. He's got 1920s Cuban Bacardi rum, and he's also got a pre-World War II Egyptian rum. I wonder what that tastes like. And he apparently only opens a bottle to drink if he has a duplicate bottle. He's a retired lawyer, and he developed a taste for the rum drinks during his college days, so he prefers the rum straight up or with a little water. It'd be interesting to see that collection, because there's a story behind some of this rum, I think. And speaking of hobbies and collecting and all that sort of stuff, this out of Washington, this guy named Dave Schultz, and he usually attracts a pretty big crowd when his radio-controlled tanks start to roll. But the models aren't toys. He's got a large collection of 4 RC armored tanks about the size of a VW Bug. He's an aerospace engineer. He displayed his stock at the Washington State Park recently. They're not so miniaturized, I guess, obviously, if they're as big as a VW Bug. They're versions of the World War II German and Soviet armor are there as well, obviously, these tanks. And he says that the hobby has been kind of crazy for him, that he's almost downright certifiable. I think it'd be kind of cool, actually, to see those tanks. Don't you? How about this one on the blimp? There's a former Apache helicopter pilot, Carl Harbuck, I'm going to leave you with this one, who's flying a little bit slower. He went from flying helicopter gunships to piloting the blimp. He's Captain Carl. He spends most of his workday about 1,000 feet off the ground as a senior pilot for the light ship group. That blimp carries ads on a 30-by-70-foot video screen. Hey, a job's a job, right?
Our economy.